word this morning. I hope when the service is over that you're going to be able to say it's been a blessing to you. We'll find out. But the wonderful thing about preaching that I found is that it's not the person who is doing the talking who is really doing the preaching, but rather it's the Holy Spirit. And we thank God. I was thinking this past week, it came to my mind that it's almost 59 years since I started my preaching ministry. In fact, it started back in December of 1959 when I completed my bachelor's degree at Asbury College in Wilmore, Kentucky, and was assigned to serve two churches, one here in Scotts and another in Fulton. And I came into this town being a city boy and wondering, I could hardly wait till I get through living in this area because it's all country and I'm used to the city. And lo and behold, the Lord had plans to meet this beautiful young lady, to have a good ministry in Christ, and one day to return here to be able to share with you the good news of the gospel. I'm reminded of one of the hymns that we sang this morning, Blessed Assurance. The chorus goes, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. You wonder who I am. Some of you know me from many years past. Many of you don't know me at all. And so I'm going to share a little bit about my ministry to start out this morning so that you'll at least have some idea of what the Lord has given me in my ministry. I have a pretty little pond, but I no longer fish it. For since my bones got old and sore, they do not seem to wish it. But some sweet day my Lord will come and make my body new. So then perhaps I'll fish again like his old timers do. Though some may long to fish for fish, I still remember when the Lord called me to follow him so I could fish for men. Yes, I admit that others called have caught far more than I. But Jesus guaranteed no fish. He just told me to try. And so beside my pretty pond, I thank Christ for his call. For though the fish I caught be few, my Jesus blessed them all. How like the mount of loaves and fish, I feel like that young lad, for though I've little for the Lord, I gave him all I had. This is all that God expects from us, and in return he will bless us beyond what our minds and hearts could ever imagine. Robbie was kind enough to share the New Testament lesson for today, and we're going to be touching on that during the message today. The Old Testament lesson is a lot shorter, but it has a lot of meaning. It is written in Psalm 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen for his inheritance. You know, as we think about these words, I suppose many thoughts come to our minds. But I've been trained to do a little bit of study in Hebrew and Greek. And so I kind of want to share a little bit about the Hebrew meaning that goes in to these words. But in order for you to understand it a little bit better, I think it'd be a good idea to share with you a couple facts about the Hebrew language. One, we are used in English to reading from left to right, but the Hebrews are used to reading from right to left. A second fact that you need to know is that when the Hebrews wrote something, they put the thing that they thought was most important at the beginning, which to them was at the right, and then as they worked to the left, the things became less and less important. And so it is that it's a good idea to have in mind what this scripture really is in Hebrew, and to understand what the meanings of these words might be, so that God can bless us with the Holy Scripture today. We're only going to cover just part of the Old Testament lesson today, because there's so much here that I could never really adequately share all that you should know for the whole verse. But we're going to focus this morning on blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now, when you keep in mind what I just shared with you about the Hebrew language, you'll see that the first word that is here is Lord. But actually, if you go back to the original Hebrew, you'll find that there is another word that is used. This is the word that we know today as Yahweh. This was the personal name that the Hebrews had for the wonderful and great and magnificent God. But they put so much reverence on the word Yahweh that they would not even write it in their scriptures, let alone pronounce the words. In fact, when this was written down several thousand years ago, they didn't even have any vowels. So the only things that they had written down initially were the consonants. And what were those consonants? The consonants that were written down were YHWH. Now, when the time came when the Hebrew scholars decided to actually print the original name of God, Yahweh, they didn't have the slightest idea what the vowels were. And so what they did was to substitute the vowels in the word Lord that they substituted for the sacred name of Yahweh, and then put it together in a brand new word. And this word came out to be Jehovah. So whenever you read the word Jehovah, the name of God in the Bible, what you are reading is a composite of Yahweh and Lord together. And it comes out Jehovah. As we think about Yahweh and who he really is, I think it's important to understand what the word Yahweh meant originally. God himself explained to Moses at the burning bush what his name meant and means. For the name is the present tense, I am. I am living. God is the eternal present. And so he said to Moses, my name is I am. And you know, as we think about this, I believe that this is one of the blessings that God would have for each one of us. that as we think about life, that we won't simply think about it as the past or even the future or even the present, but we might think about it in terms of being made in the image of God. And God originally created man to be eternal. Of course, when man sinned, he threw a monkey wrench into the whole plan of God, didn't he? And so do we. And yet the Bible tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And therefore, as we think about the great blessing of God, we think about God restoring eternal life to us through his Son, who sacrificed himself in order to die upon a rugged cross so that we could be restored to God and we could live forever in the eternal present, even as God does himself. As we go on with the scripture, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord or is Yahweh. The next main word that we hit is the word God. Now again, when you look in the Bible, when you see the word God, you imagine certain characteristics of God. But in the Hebrew, there are two main words for God. One is El, which is the singular, E-L, but that never refers to the one true God. El is the name that is applied to heathen gods, singular. Whenever you read the plural name for God, which in Hebrew is Elohim, then you are reading a name for the one true God. So keep in mind, you have two main names for God. You have Yahweh, which is the personal name for God, which brings forth the concept of his sacrificing all in his great love for us so that our sins might be forgiven and that we might have eternal life through him. And then you have the name Elohim, which the Hebrews originally used to refer to the impersonal, creative God. Now, if you want to get some concept of what this means in the Hebrew, read the book of Genesis. And whenever you come across the name of God, it's in the name Elohim, referring to the creative power of God. But whenever you come across the name Lord, which is applied to God, then you will discover that it refers to Yahweh, the personal, loving, agape God, who saves us from our sins because of his great love. And something interesting about the book of Genesis, when you read it, that you'll discover at the beginning of Genesis, just the word God is used to refer to the creation and the wonderful, matchless power of Almighty God. But then you come to the place in Genesis where you not only read the name God, Elohim, but you also see the word Lord. There you see where God has revealed himself in not only creation, but in creating us again spiritually through his Son, Jesus the Christ. The next main word that we see in this scripture, going from right to left, is the word nation. Now, this isn't just any nation. This is the Greek word Gui. Sounds kind of strange to say it, but Gui was the Hebrew word for the Gentile nation. So here we find that the Gentile nations are every nation other than God's chosen people, whom we call the Jews. And so we find in reading this scripture that The time came when not only the Jewish nation descended from Abraham accepted the one true God, but we find that all nations were blessed by the one true God. And those nations which glorify him as Yahweh, the one true God, these are the nations that are blessed. And so we arrive then at the theme of our service for today. The name that is used, the word that is used at the beginning as we would see it through our English translation, blessed. Now, interestingly enough, the Hebrew has two different words for bless or blessed. One refers to simply earthly blessings. And these blessings are those which fade away. They could be physical, or they could be unseen, like the breath that God gives you that ends when you die physically. This could be something that you don't take seriously because of the fact that it's only temporary. But the Hebrews have also another name for blessed. And this is the word Esher, E-S-H-E-R. Esher is a spiritual blessing, and it differs from the physical blessing because it is not temporary, but rather it is eternal. So when you think about these two different concepts of blessing in the Old Testament, you get a better understanding of why, when you read the Bible, that there are some things that we human beings would call blessings, but they're only temporary blessings. They're only earthly blessings. They're only those blessings that we crave and want so much, but pass away when this life passes away. Just like the Hebrew has two words for blessing, so does the Greek. The Greeks have a word that means also the spiritual blessings. And this word in Greek is makarios. And Robbie was kind enough to read the New Testament scripture for today. And you notice how often the word blessed is used? In each case, it is the word makarios, which is being translated. And these are eternal blessings, not temporary spiritual blessings. Maybe if you remember, Robbie started out in reading Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, with the fact that it was Jesus' disciples who came upon the mountain. These were those who were given eternal life because they believed in Jesus and what he would do upon the cross. And so he said that if we truly accept him, that there are special blessings, eternal blessings, that will never pass away. So if you get a chance today, pick up your Bible and reread what Robbie read for you and see what those eternal blessings are and how you can get them. So now we come to what I think is the key point that God wants me to share with you today. And that is, are you blessed? And when we read that Old Testament scripture, blessed is the nation whose God is Yahweh. What kind of blessings do you imagine? You might imagine all of the material blessings that God bestows upon this nation. And we would be right to do so. For God has truly blessed our nation. In fact, God has blessed our nation so much that we have many more blessings, even of the material sense, than other nations combined. In fact, if you look at the length of life of the average American, it's at least now 70 years. But if you total up the whole lifespan of the rest of the world, it's less than 40 years. Americans own 15 times more property than the average person throughout the world. And I can testify to this fact that we eat 72% more food than the rest of the world. And so we indeed are blessed materially, but we are also blessed spiritually. An American diplomat, a story says, was once meeting with a counterpart from another country in Latin America. And they were talking about the difference in the standard of living between the United States and other countries, especially those in Latin America. And the Latin American diplomat said, "You know, I think I understand why America is so blessed compared to countries in Latin America, and why so many people from Latin America are flooding into the United States wanting to have a part of the good life that they sense in the United States." And the American diplomat kind of looked at his counterpart and said to him, "Well, what do you mean? There's a difference?" And the Latin American diplomat thought for a moment and said, "Yes, there is a difference. For in my country and other Latin American countries, people came as immigrants to our countries in search of gold and material things. But the truth of the matter is that the first people, settlers, many came to found the United States in search of God, to worship God as they felt he wanted them to worship him. And so I think it's a good idea if we ask ourselves within our own lives, do we come and are we proud to be an American simply because of the many material blessings we have, all of which will pass away? Or when we think of the blessing of God in America, do we think of the church that is about on every corner, street corner in our land, the opportunity for the gospel to be preached, the number of missionaries that are sent out by Christian people in order to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And yet, so often, even though we are so richly blessed in material things and spiritual things, the truth of the matter is that many people aren't really thankful, not really thankful for the blessings that God gives them. I remember a story being told about a loving grandmother who gave checks to her grandchildren every Christmas. And so she would give out these checks that were quite a bit of money. But at the beginning, she did get a thank you note from them, but it was the mother, the daughter, the father who told the children to write those notes. But those parents got tired of telling their children and left it up to the children to write the notes. But they didn't do it. And so the grandmother was hurt, but then she came to a conclusion. I will write the checks, but I won't sign them until I receive a thank you note from God. I'm kind of wondering this morning how we would feel about that if God put that as a criterion for us. Before he blessed us in any way, he would expect us somehow in some way to issue a special thank you to him. Yes, as we think about the blessings of life, we think about the temporary blessings, and we think about the eternal blessings. But the important thing, I think, is that we are blessed not only with material things, but also with spiritual things. As I've said, all the material blessings we have pass away at death. In fact, the Bible indicates to us that the time is coming when all of these material things that we love so much will be put to the fire of God, to the torch of God. And the time will come when this whole earth and the heavens that we know so well now will pass away. I'm reminded of a scripture from St. Peter, who indicated something very special. He indicated in 1 Peter 3, starting with verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. So why would God destroy the heavens and the earth as we know them? It's because we have misused them. It's because we put more emphasis on the material blessings of life than we have upon the spiritual blessings of life. And so it is as God talks to us this morning. His Holy Spirit asks us in a very personal and direct way, are you simply thankful for the material blessings you have, or are you really thankful and show your thankfulness for the spiritual blessings that you have as well? As we think about God's word today, perhaps we are reminded of some of the words that St. Paul wrote, and he wrote these words in a special way, and he indicated that we do have a special blessing. In fact, it's one of my favorite scripture verses, for in it St. Paul says that he that is God made him that is his son Jesus to be sin who knew no sin, that we might know the righteousness of God through him. Have you ever wondered about that verse and the true meaning of it? God, through his Son, died upon a cross, gave all that he had, both in body and spirit, to achieve the opportunity for our salvation. So how do we respond to that? And what does it really mean to be made the righteousness of God? You know, one of the reasons I think that God is going to destroy the physical heavens and the physical earth as we know it is that they have become polluted. Sin has taken over, and God will, in his great power and love, create a new heaven and a new earth for those who truly surrender themselves to him. But what does it mean to become the righteousness of God? I think one of the stories that spells the meaning of this for me is the story about the shepherd who was way out in the grazing fields of Palestine. And this story happened many years ago when lions roamed that area. And suddenly a lion appeared and killed a mother sheep and killed a lamb of another mother sheep. And finally the shepherd bravely drove off the lion, but in its wake was one dead mother sheep, a ewe, and an unrelated lamb. And so the shepherd decided, well, I'll put the orphan lamb with the surviving mother. But when he did so, the surviving ewe would have nothing to do with the orphan lamb because she smelled the lamb and it was not hers. So the shepherd came upon an idea. And what he did was to take off the skin of the dead lamb and attach it to the live, surviving lamb. And then he put it with the surviving ewe, mother sheep. And the mother sheep sniffed the orphan lamb. And when she did so, she smelled the scent of her own offspring. And smelling the offspring being her own, she accepted the lamb and fed that lamb until it could feed itself. To me, this is what it means to have the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. We cannot be righteous before him. God cannot stand sin. In fact, he hates sin so much that he condemns it and curses it. But because he loves us so much, he gave his only begotten Son for us and takes the fleece of Christ, so to speak, and puts it on us so that the righteousness of Christ becomes our righteousness. It's nothing that we earn. It's nothing that we deserve. It's simply grace that God takes his Son and he sees not our sinful self, but he sees Christ in us and thus pardons our sins and gives us new life in him, eternal blessing. You know, as we think about blessing today and about our country and about our Old Testament scripture reading, blessed is the nation whose God is Yahweh, let us realize that the material things with which God blesses us aren't important at all. I'm really disheartened in this modern age when I go to funerals and all I hear is about the great things that the deceased supposedly did when he or she was on this earth. But they don't mean anything. The only thing that means something as when the minister can give the testimony, this person accepted Christ as his or her own personal Savior, and thus is stepping into eternity to be with God forevermore. Yes, when we think of blessings, many things can come to our minds, but the important thing that we need to realize is that God has given his Son so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. What can bless our needy nation? What can feed its hungry heart? What can quench its thirsting spirit? What can God to us impart? He has blessed us so with trinkets, things we long for, things we crave, things of this world in abundance that we must leave at the grave. Sometimes what we think are blessings are but curses in disguise. Then we find we are so foolish when we thought we were so wise. Jesus gave his life on Calvary, gave his body and his blood to redeem us from those blessings that in error we thought we loved. So now lead us by your Spirit to your fountain up above, that by grace and faith in Jesus we can all be born in love. Please instill in us the blessings that inspire us to share. Help us all to be a blessing to a nation in despair. Bless America, our Father, with the blessings that are true. Fill us with the love of Jesus that will make us more like you. Do you really want to become more like God, or do you want to become more like the rest of this dying world? I encourage you, when you read the scriptures, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, that you indeed will accept what is best, the vicarious blessings, the spiritual blessings, the eternal blessings. For Jesus has told us that if we seek first his kingdom, that all these other things will be added onto us. But the important thing is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then they can be added onto us. In closing, I want to simply share a history lesson about a famous band we all know by the name of Irving, which interestingly in Hebrew means beautiful, Berlin. This band was born as Israel Balin on May 11th, 1888, in Tenom, Russia, of poor Jewish parents. They were having a tough time there in Russia, so they immigrated to the United States. Irving was only 4 years old, and his parents were so poor that they didn't have enough food, really, for the family. And so Irving Berlin went out and sold newspapers on the New York City streets. And when that didn't bring quite enough money, he then began to play and to sing on those same street corners. And people contributed a few coins, which helped to get the family through. Yes, his family was very poor financially, and could not really afford to give Irving much of an education formally. In fact, he only received 2 years of formal education. And yet he wrote such favorite songs of ours, like White Christmas, Alexander's Ragtime Band, and of course, God Bless America. I want us to close the service in singing God Bless America. I'm going to ask Robbie to come back and to lead this song. But as you ask God to bless our nation, ask him to bless it not simply with physical blessings, but even more importantly, with his eternal spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.